Okay, go ahead and have a seat, gang. We are in a mini series in the midst of a greater series, this bigger series called Practicals of Our Faith, where we're just taking everyday life with the Lord, and we're giving you practical helps and tools to increase your faith. And so in the midst of that, we're doing a mini series on prayer ministry. So not just increasing your ability or hopefully helping you out a little bit to pray for people, but also to receive prayer ministry. We're looking at three different topics that we find to be kind of some of the pinnacle topics that we might talk about when we're doing prayer ministry, and that's healing, deliverance, and prophecy. And so today we're doing prophecy. And we're going to just give you guys a kind of the church's Restoration Fellowship's kind of stance on how we do this and what some immaturities are that we're going to watch out for, and then actually what some harmful practices are that we're going to make sure don't happen and try to just increase our maturity in those places. So as we have talked about in prior sessions, we prioritize the fruit of the Spirit over the gifts of the Spirit. So if we could just take all the fruit of the Spirit right now and put them under a banner, we would, and we'd call that banner love. This is what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is merciful. Love is compassionate. Okay? So we have this fruit of the Spirit, and that is how we are prioritizing more than we are placing a priority on seeing breakthrough in a prayer ministry time. We want that individual to feel loved and to receive love. So that takes paramount. And when that takes paramount place, it kind of positions up to do ministry well and gives us some guidelines in order to walk out that love. This is not going to be a session on why we believe in the gift of prophecy. You can catch that on other sessions, or whether we think prophecies for today or anything like that. We are boldly charismatic church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and this won't be a defense of the gifts of the Spirit this morning or a teaching on just prophecy in general. This is how to do it. We do have those kind of teachings. I would just encourage you to go online. We got a boatload of them. You could just type in prophecy under sermons and search, and you're going to find multiple series on that. So here we go. Let's look at Roman numeral two on specifics. Wow, Lord. Prophecy specifics. Here we go. Prophetic ministry defined. The gift of prophecy is when God gives an individual revelation of his heart concerning another individual or situation through impressions, dreams, visions, or audible voice. Sometimes these revelations do not have to be future to be prophetic. Sometimes they are. That's a kind of a misunderstanding, I think, about prophecy today, as prophecy is defined as something future for a lot of folks, and that's just not the case. If you go through 1 Corinthians 14 talking about specifics of prophecy, it doesn't talk about it has to be something future. Can be, but that is something I just want to clear up. This is anything that God gives these revelations to strengthen, encourage, and edify the church. That's 1 Corinthians 14:3. It is not, we do not believe at Restoration Fellowship that prophecy is an office. We don't believe in the offices as far as a lot of charismatic churches do. We don't think that's a biblical idea as far as the fivefold ministry. So if you're familiar with what I'm talking about, there's multiple churches, especially charismatic churches, that believe that the five gifts of the Spirit listed in Ephesians chapter 4 are governmental offices: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. We don't see that. What we see is there are primary gifts that strengthen the church. And I just want to be clear on that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given. Grace was given. What is grace? Unmerited favor or power from the Lord. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. And so you are bestowed this gift in your brokenness, in your mess, in your imperfections, and it has nothing to do with your position or something that you've earned or this place that you deserve a platform. It's simply God loves the people that you're going to minister to, and so he's going to give you power to do it. Okay? And so we have this list here, prophets being one of them, and we just believe that that is an error to make somebody that has a gift to give them a governmental office in the church. Here's why. It says it's grace, and then all of the positions that we see given for government are based on godly character, merit. You're actually to analyze an individual and say, based on your godly character over time, are you fit for governmental office? Okay, it has nothing to do with gifting. I'm going to just look at Titus 1, 5 through 9. You'll find this in Timothy. You'll find this in the book of Acts where they're looking at elders. Titus 1, 5 through 9. For this reason, Titus, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I've commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for an elder must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he would be able by sound doctrine to both exhort, convict those who contradict. Nothing in there. Make sure that they're good at laying their hands on the sick and seeing them healed. Make sure they're good at prophetic words and you know, make sure they have a fivefold gift. That's not there. It's not in Timothy. All of us kind of know Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy 3, where he's talking about what an elder is, what to look for. Not once they say, look for a gift of the Spirit. And we need to pay attention to that, because what happens is unmerited favor gets placed on a person and they're extremely powerful. Everybody they pray for gets healed. They give prophetic words that just, man, the whole church comes on, you know, it's just powerful. And we just want to see that person in leadership. And that's an error. Okay? We don't trust a platform to power or gifting. We trust it to proven character. Okay, here we go. Defining a false prophet. This is also something that gets a little strange in our day. False prophets today, for a lot of people, are defined, like you could type in false prophet on YouTube, don't, it's a wormhole, but, and what you'll find is what they're looking at is who has prophesied things that haven't happened. Those are false prophets. Gang, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that false prophets are individuals who uses the gift of prophecy to lead people away from righteousness, truth, and the worship of God. The test of prophecy is not passed if something resonates or if something comes to pass. We are to test it according to the truth of God's word. Let's look at Deuteronomy 13 real quick. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arises someone among you, a prophet, a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder. Let that set in for a minute. He gives you a sign and a wonder. And the sign and the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke, and he says, because of this, let's go after other gods. Because now I've validated my power to you, listen to what I say. Does that make sense? Which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord God is testing you to see whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The false prophets are defined by people who, get this, move in prophecy and move in power. Gang, did you know that at the end of the age, a false prophet is going to arise who will call down fire from heaven, the book of Revelation says. If you had somebody that tomorrow said, hey, I'm the prophet of the Lord and I've proven it to you, I'm going to call down fire tomorrow from heaven. And massive amounts of people are going to follow that person who the Bible calls the most wicked prophet who ever lived. Right? This is not about whether you felt something, whether something came to pass, whether a sign and wonder happened. What do they say about who God is? And what do they say you should do in order to follow him? It's all about that. So we're not defining false prophecy. And this is a big thing because, gang, in our context, we see people grow in the gift of prophecy. And when you're growing in the gift of prophecy, you tend to miss it. And you still miss it even when you're mature. That's just one of the things about prophecy. And what we'll do is we'll say false prophet. It's not true. We don't want to make that person feel like they're a false prophet. They are attempting to walk in a gift and they're just submitting it. And they're saying, hey, I love Jesus. I had this picture of you. I'm not sure. And you say, no, that doesn't resonate at all. You're a false prophet. That's not what a false prophet is. And we don't want to have that here, that idea. Maturity is not defined by accuracy, number one. We are to expect individuals to get it wrong sometimes. Even people who prophesy often and it seems to be right. We don't expect someone with the gift of healing, gang, to lay their hand on someone who's sick and they get better every single time. And if they don't, we say false healer, right? We don't do that. We understand it's a gift based on grace and there's a mystery to it. And so we're not looking to validate someone by whether or not they're accurate. Even those who seem to have a lot of grace on their prophecy gift will get it wrong sometimes. The standard or the goal is never power or accuracy to begin with. It is maturity and love. That's the goal. So with that in mind, let's look at kind of a five-step model of how to walk in this. Now, this is for everybody. We were in next door here before service praying with our elder team and our worship team, and we're just saying, God, every individual in this room, would you increase the gift of prophecy in their life? We need this in the body. I believe prophecy, and I don't have time to go into why, but I believe it is actually one of the greater, like it says, Paul says, earnest desire the best gifts or the greater gifts. He lists prophecy as one of those things because it's so powerful and encouraging and strengthening and building up the body. And gang, that's what we need. And so we want everybody to earnestly desire to prophesy. I love that passage in 1 Corinthians 14. It's like, every one of you earnestly desire to prophesy. So number one, here's how we do this. We wait on the Lord. We ask him, Lord, I'm going to pray for Billy over here right now. And God, I ask that you would give me revelation concerning who he is to you. Would you speak to me? Show me a verse, a vision, you know, speak to him, whatever it might be. We're asking the Lord to lead us and give us words, impressions, Bible verses, dreams, visions. And then you share that with the person for consideration. If you feel like you've received some type of revelation, then share it with the person. And it's okay to say, I got nothing. And you just pray what Billy needs prayer for, right? But always wait on the Lord. When you share it with the person, always talk about the revelation by giving the benefit of the doubt that it might not be the Lord. Never say, God showed, told, spoke, or said. God told me. God showed me. God said. Now, we do that just because it's cultural. But why we don't do this is because it eliminates eliminates for the person, especially being prayed for, his ability to test that word objectively. Okay, and this is so important to prophecy in the New Testament. This does not leave room for the person you're ministering to judge or weigh the revelation freely or fairly. It puts a weight on it. Instead, use language that allows them to freely receive and judge the revelation. I feel like the Lord might have showed me something, but it might not be God. But here's what I saw. And I just encourage you, if that's the Lord, well then awesome. And if it's not, I'm just going for it. I want to bless you, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to lead me. We have multiple passages that talk about testing prophecy. We'll look at 1 Thessalonians real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. And this is the idea that why would you quench the Spirit? Why would you say we don't do prophecy here? I will tell you why. Because it can get messy and people can miss it. And people can use prophecy to manipulate and hurt people and control people. And we've seen it happen. And so our tendency is to say, hey, we don't do that here. But he says, don't do that. Don't despise prophecy. Let people prophesy, but test it. Test it. And we have multiple, you know, passages there. I have them for you. So here's some things you can say. I feel like the Lord showed me. I feel like maybe the Lord gave me a word for you. So I'm getting a picture that might be for you. So as we were praying, I felt like I was given this verse. You see the difference between, here's what God says to you, Bob. Boom. Like there's a different way that you're going to receive that. All right, and especially for someone that's new to prophecy, when we're just kind of introducing this idea to them, we're going to get believers in here that are open to it, but they're just not mature in it. And we start throwing that sort of, and when I grew up in church, a real wildly charismatic church, it was always, thus saith the Lord. You guys ever have those prophets? Thus saith the Lord. And it was kind of like, whoa, there's no measuring this. This is thus saith the Lord. Ask for validation. Ask the individual if the revelation you receive means anything or resonates with them. And give them an out. Say, it's okay if it doesn't. Don't, like, make me feel better by saying, yeah, that's the Lord, but it's really not. Okay? Give them that freedom. If the answer is no, like, no, that doesn't really resonate. Don't insist on it. Be like, no, it was the Lord. You have to believe it. Right? I really felt this one strongly, and so I know it's God. Even though you're saying it's not, you've got to, it's God. It's God. You got to go with it. Just say, okay, no worries. Move on and just pray for him. Pray for him of what the need is. If the answer is yes, then awesome. Apply that prophecy to the prayer. Okay, encourage and strengthen. Specifically, when it comes to prophecy, the prophetic insight must be applied in such a way that it strengthens and encourages this individual. Now, this is where maturity comes in. As someone who's praying for someone, let's say, great example, you're praying for someone and you feel like the Lord showed you that this individual struggles with fear. And maybe it's even demonic. There's a demonic thing behind it. You say, like, the spirit of fear on it. And so here's what you don't do. Say, here's what the Lord, I just feel like the Lord showed me, you're controlled by a spirit of fear. That's not helpful. That's not setting anybody free. That just makes them more afraid. What? I have a demon? Oh my gosh. I don't know what to do. This is horrible. Amen. That's your word. Sit down. Like that, no, we have to, like, go, why would the Lord show me this? And how can we partner with God's heart to see this person free? Well, there's a bunch of verses about how the love of God casts out fear. Right? So just you take a minute and process whatever that thing is that you're getting from the Lord, and just so that you can bring it in a way that strengthens and encourages them. What if you just said, hey, I feel like maybe the Lord's sharing me that you struggle with fear, and there might even be like a demonic evil thing behind that. I just want to go after that right now and pray over you. No fear in the name of Jesus. Right? Or pursue the deliverance model we looked at last week. So there needs to be a maturity in the way that you're going to take a minute and process and say, how can I deliver this? How can I say this or do this in such a way where this individual is going to feel strengthened, encouraged, and built up? Okay? Let's go ahead and flip the page. And then lastly, I want you guys to promote participation. Almost all prophecy. Finish the prayer time with encouraging individual. Continue to pray. Continue. The Lord showed them that, and just kind of say, hey, stay in this. Journal this. Spend some time with the Lord on this. Especially we get these, I love the people that have their little book. And I'm sorry if this is you. It's just immature. So you can do better. They got their little book and they've got prophecies. And I'm just picturing, I was at a Bible college with a number of young people that had all these prophecies about how they were going to be pastors of large stadium gatherings and all this stuff, and they're just sitting there, kind of waiting for that to come upon them. And there was no participation. They didn't feel any like obligation to participate or to kind of search out that word of the Lord. They just had the prophecy, and that was the end of it. And that's just an immature approach. The Lord will reveal things to you many times for you to partner with him in it. It doesn't just flop upon you one day, especially you're responding in prayer. So offer the person Bible verses to review or to incorporate into their personal time. If it's a directional word, then encourage them to seek wisdom and go after open doors in that that direction. Remember, there's almost always some level of ongoing participation that the Lord is seeking when there's a prophetic word given. Almost always there's some sort of participation on our part that we are partnering with his direction in order to see it come to pass. Okay, so we're going to jump right into immature and harmful practices. I would say that in the charismatic world, I would say prophecy is the kind of the most embraced and practiced. So charismatic, you know, we deliverance we talked about. There's a lot of charismatic churches that don't really walk out deliverance. They don't really know how, and it's, you know, but they're charismatic. They believe in the gifts. Healing gets it. They're not really like, all right, if anybody's sick every Sunday, come up and get prayer. Some do, but for the most part. But I would say prophecy is something that most charismatic churches walk out to a degree. It's fairly common. And because of that, there's a greater number of immaturities and corrections that I want to recognize today to bring us into a more healthy place if this is happening in your life or in this church. So here's some immature, harmful. They're just not helpful. They're harmful. They're immature. Here's the first one. Self-validation to encourage belief. So this looks like this. I'm a little bit insecure of whether or not Billy is going to receive this prophetic word. So I'm going to encourage Billy a little bit and say, hey, I just want you to know I get prophetic words a lot. And they're usually right on. So here, let me pray for you. We see this more in public words. People come up to share a word to the congregation, and they feel like this obligation to kind of like build up your trust in them. Gang, just give the word. If it's the Lord, he'll validate it. All right? It's a little bit immature to do that. Office, we already talked about this. We see an error when we say someone's super prophetic, so we're going to give them governmental authority, but they don't have the character to walk that out, and it's just a mess. Number three, God told me, showed me, spoke to me. We talked about this. If you insist that God told you, you leave no room for accountability or correction from your leaders or your church family. This stance violates multiple passages commanding us to test prophecy, and this happens more than you think. I have been in so many counseling sessions with an individual, and they're just like, God told me, and I can't. They have shut the door to me speaking into that because they are so convinced that God told them. All right, even unbiblical things. I've been in counseling sessions with people, you know, God told me that my, you know, particular sin issue is fine. I'm like, that's just not in the word, man. Like, that's not the Lord. So just be very, very careful to just kind of insist on those things. Your immediate stance is prophecy is fallible. I am fallible. The word of God is not fallible. I stand below it. I am correctable. I need to be correctable because I can get it wrong. Dramatic delivery. We used to have this individual who would shake like this. And that was when, then you knew they were about to prophesy. And they just did that for like the sake of, now you got to know this, like it's a really powerful word. So I'm going to, you know, do that. And it just became a thing. They did. It was weird. The power of the prophecy is in the fact that God gave you a word for someone's heart. And if it's the Lord, it will impact their heart powerfully. You can't add to that by raising your voice, or shaking, or validating yourself of how great, you know, the word might be. Number five, no measuring against Scripture. It is the responsibility, and I want to be clear on this. It is your responsibility as someone who's getting prayed for If you receive a prophecy, it is your responsibility to make sure that's scriptural. And if you're praying for someone and you have a prophetic word, it's your responsibility too. It's a dual responsibility here. Okay? So we take all words, whether we hear them and we're about to give them, or we receive one and we say, is that biblical? Where is that? When it does not happen, rampant immaturity and doctrinal error are the fruit. Now, I want to elevate this for a second. Paul says this. He says, there will be angels of light that come to you and give you words of the Lord. They could be demonic. Don't listen to them. Test them. Now, I'm just thinking, most Christians who love Jesus, they prayed that night for a prophetic word. An angel of light shows up and says, my angel name, and this is what the Lord says. They're just going to run with it. Right? They're not going to go, hold on. I'm just questioning right now whether or not I believe you. We really want to do that because as demonic and witchcraft things increase in the age, and it says they will, we're going to see powerful things, possibly feel powerful things, and we're going to buy it because of the power behind it, because of the power of that encounter. And we really got to dial down and say, no, the Bible warns that this, even this could be demonic. This could be wrong. Non-sensitivity to gender. We've talked about this just in ministry in general. We don't want to see one-on-one prayer ministry done guy to girl. We want to see teams of two. But I would say a stronger caution on prophetic words because of the sensitivity, because of the amount of emotion that you can touch when you're giving prophetic words to people's hearts. It's different than praying for their healing. It is just, it goes deeper, it's more personal, and it feels more personal. And for that reason, we are heavy on, we don't want to see prophetic words being given, guy to girl, girl to guy, one-on-one. We really want to see, hey, get your wife over here, get your girlfriends over here, you know, get a person next to you. I feel like I have a word for you, okay? Let's go ahead and flip the page. Decreeing and declaring. This is real popular. And it's also, it's a little bit weird. It's just a little bit immature. Again, we don't see this in the Bible, but it's a cultural thing. It's a real cultural thing. It's like, I declare this prophetic word. And you're kind of, because you're shouting it over the kind of the atmosphere, somehow there's more power on it. Okay? Or you're decreeing, like you're, you know, writing a law and making it happen. And it's a charismatic expression, but it's not a biblical idea as far as like this has added power to your word. It's made it more powerful. It's just a little bit of an immaturity. So we're going to avoid that. Number 8, prophecy without participation. We talked about that. We don't want to just kind of believe like the prophetic words that are given over this church or over yourself, over your life, just happen to you in a vacuum. That's not Bible. That's not how God leads. He gives you, he shows you what he's doing in your life so that you can participate in it. Number 9, life-altering prophecies. Prophecies that have to do with potential spouses, pregnancies, major life decisions like moves and jobs should be given with extreme caution. This is not something you just flippantly say ever. You are messing with someone's life, okay? It's weighty. In general, and at the very least, I would say we recommend they never be given. Just pray about it. Or simply put in the category of intercession for the person. If you're just like, this is so heavy, blah, 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 find an elder, talk to the elder, and just say, I just want you to be aware as an elder, you know, over this person, I feel like God's moving them to Cincinnati tomorrow, and like, I just feel like I really should tell them, and that elder will walk out with you at just a mature, loving way that you might be able to do that. But gang, life-altering words are just given flippantly over and over in the charismatic circle. And I mean the amount of offense and disillusionment that's out there because someone prophesied so-and-so would be your husband or wife or you would have a baby, and you are offended and hurt and because it didn't work out. Okay? And you're blaming God. When honest, probably you should just go, I think that person missed it. Okay. Wrong definition of a false prophet. We talked about that. And then prophesying out of your bent or weakness. This is normal. Don't feel bad when this happens. This is normal. But how many of you guys have ever been burdened with like a personal burden from the Lord or personal message? And you're just convinced this is what everybody needs to hear. This is the Lord for you. And it's the same thing that he's doing in your life. You're just prophesying out of your personal burden and bent a lot of times. And then I would say don't prophesy out of your weakness. I see this I've specifically seen it in money where someone's like, they're struggling financially and their prophecies to everybody is about wealth and how the Lord's going to bring wealth. They're prophesying out of that weak place that they're desiring. So I would just say if you have that, be aware of that and say, this could be more tainted than I think. This is really where I'm at, and I'm projecting my stuff as the Lord to a person. Okay, harmful. Do not do this. Number one, prophetic manipulation. Prophetic manipulation is spiritual abuse. It's not to be taken lightly. This isn't like a whoops. This is like, hey, we're going to sit you down. We're going to say, don't do this again. It's so harmful. It is spiritual abuse, and it must be immediately confronted and stopped. Any prophecy that is given in order to control, dominate, or exploit others for personal gain or influence, that's prophetic manipulation. And here's what it looks like. You give prophecy in such a way that it undermines individual decision-making. If you give it and say, the Lord showed me this, and if you don't do this, hell is coming for you. I've had those kind of prophecies. I've had those kind of prophecies as a church leader. Someone come up and says, hey, you're supposed to do this particular ministry. And if you don't do this ministry, the Lord's not going to bless you. That's manipulation, right? That's they're taking it out of my hands. And they're actually putting me up against the wall and saying, I demand you do this. And God demands you do this. You have no choice in the matter. Okay? Instilling guilt or fear for non-compliance. If you don't do this, you do this or else, Satan's going to have at your kids. Blah, 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 whatever that might be. We've heard those kinds of things. Seeking personal benefit. If someone comes and gives you a prophetic word, and you're analyzing the word and going, if that's the Lord, that's really going to help you a ton. That's probably something you should go, I'm cautious that that's the Lord, okay? So people will manipulate prophecy to seek personal benefit. Financial exploitation. Hey, the Lord showed me you're supposed to give me $10,000. It's just anything like that. There's a place there where that individual is trying to benefit themselves through prophecy. Relational control. Gang, this is actually fairly common in the charismatic sphere, especially you young people. Do not do this. Don't say, you've been dating Billy for 6 months. I'll flip it around. Billy will probably do it to Sally. He's been dating Sally for 6 months, and he'll say, hey, the Lord told me you're going to be my wife. Where does that put her in her ability to be free? Oh, man, devastating, super controlling. Now, you might mean well. Billy really thinks the Lord told me he's going to marry Sally. Keep it to yourself, Billy. Have other people pray with you about that, but don't say that. It is going to manipulate and control the situation. And I want to say this. Most prophecy that's given in a manipulative way is given from a pure heart or like a heart that's not trying to be evil. They just don't realize they're manipulating. But it's actually really, really harmful. But they'll get into a practice of it if they're not confronted. Coercing obedience. Same thing, like, I'm giving you this word, And if you do it, God's going to bless you. If you don't do it, he's going to smoke you. And you're going, okay, I'm not free to judge this word. You're delivering in such a way that it's manipulating me and promoting false teachings. This is so common. Someone's going to introduce a teaching that's a little like, this is new. And they're going to say, and I had this dream. And the Lord showed me this is right. I remember a guy one time, he was talking about Jesus writing in the sand. And he's like, I know what Jesus wrote in the sand. He showed me in a vision. And it was this. And I was just like, I don't think that's biblical. And he was so mad. He was so offended. He wouldn't talk to me. He was just done with me. That I would suggest that that dream that he had isn't what Jesus wrote in the sand. And he began to preach that to people. And it messaged like, I know what Jesus wrote in the sand. Here's what he wrote. And I was like, bud, dangerous, right? Okay. Authoritative prophecy. Prophecy words, prophetic words, should never be placed on the same level as Scripture. Ever, ever, ever. They are underneath Scripture. They come underneath the authority of Scripture. The Scriptures validate the prophecies. Okay? It is never, I have a prophetic word, and it is greater than Scripture, or it's the same level as Scripture. Ever. We especially see this when it comes to the theme of God's promises. And we'll see this a lot where people talk about God's promises to them and their dreams or visions or prophetic words. And that's okay to say God gave me this promise. But what's not okay is when you hold that promise to the same level as the promises in the Scripture. They are not the same. These promises, as much as you go, no, I really, really think this, they are fallible. And many times they are conditional. The promises in Scripture are infallible and many times non-conditional. It's just what he's going to do. Okay, and we cannot put them on the same, because when we do, it can lead to extreme disillusionment and extreme shipwrecked faith. When we have these, God told me he was going to give me this job, and I didn't get the job. And now who is God? And their faith is shipwrecked. Okay? Now if they would have just said, there's not a scripture that says I'm going to be the CEO of that company. That could be the Lord. It might not be. I'm going to partner with it in faith and hope that it is. If I don't get the job, I'm not going to be mad at him. I'm going to say fallible prophecy. Missed it. And that's okay. Public exposure or correction of sin should never, ever happen. And you're going to get prophetic words about people's sin, okay? Probably, as you walk in, or people, areas that they're struggling with. That should never be done in public. That should never happen from the microphone. And if you have that word, it should be done in private with that person, with another individual, and it should be done with a heart to see them free and restored, not to condemn them. That's why the Lord's giving you that, because he wants to see him free. He wants to see him restored. And so he's saying, so-and-so struggling with this. Not so you can go, God's mad at you. Straighten up. So you can go and be a vessel of helping them with their freedom. Okay, non-submission to judgment. Just every single word from the Lord should be submitted for judgment. Is this God? And when you... especially prophets will do this. I would say prophets, when I use that term, I'm talking about people that kind of move in prophecy a lot. They have the gift of prophecy, and they're just really not willing to hear that they might not be right. They're so basing that on just kind of how powerful the word felt or how accurate they've been in the past or whatever. And if you just say, dude, that just doesn't resonate at all. I don't think that's the Lord. And they're just like, it is the Lord, and we're going to do it this way, and the Lord told me. That individual is dangerous. That individual is extremely dangerous. Non-submitting to judgment, an individual who refuses to be corrected or have their prophetic words tested is extremely dangerous in the body of Christ. They need correction. They need help. They need to be brought into maturity. Decisions made solely on prophecy, don't ever do this. Don't ever make a decision solely based on prophecy. That's not testing the word. That's not getting at, you know, people around you to pray into something with you. Prophetic words by nature are to be tested and confirmed by the scriptures and the judgment of the fellowship of believers. Submit that. If it's a decision-making word, you've got a small group, you've got a friend, you've got people that love you, say, hey, gang, I feel like God's leading me to make this decision. Would you pray with me? I'm just not sure if this is the Lord. Okay? We had an individual that was good, that the felt they just felt from the Lord that they were supposed to move to this city and pursue this certain relationship. Our entire group was like, no, no, no. Danger. What's that? Danger Robinson. Don't do that. And they were just like, I am convinced this is, and they were just, and it was a total train wreck. And I just think that that was a, you know, that I think that could have been avoided if they had just said, I'm just going to put this before people I trust and pray over it. And come on up, Daniel. Prophetic teachings is the last one. And we actually see this in charismatic circles fairly common, is someone will receive a prophetic word, or they'll use the language, they're talking about a verse, and they'll say, God showed me this is what this verse means. And they'll teach it as a doctrine. Dangerous. That's dangerous stuff. You could submit that in your message. You could say, I feel like the Lord showed me this is what this verse means. So people have the freedom to weigh it and judge it. But we've seen this in the charismatic world big time, is people will kind of premise a whole buy-in to their message based on a prophetic word or a dream or the Lord told me, and they teach it, and you're to receive it with that authority, and now you're supposed to back off on that and tell that person, say, hey, don't say the Lord, say the Lord maybe showed me, and I just want to submit this to you guys. That just keeps the body healthy. It keeps prophecy where it should be, and causes it to be something helpful rather than controlling or harmful. Amen. I want to go ahead and stand. Pursue love, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Lord, I just thank you for every individual in here this morning. And ministry team, you guys can make your way up front. God, I thank you that you, in your wisdom and in your plan, as you've looked down on your church worldwide and you've said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them spiritual gifts to bring them into greater fellowship with one another, to cause them to need to walk in love. And I'm going to give these gifts in order that they would be built up, encouraged in their faith, and they would come to maturity. And the idea is without them, they won't. They can still love the Lord. They can still be a Christian. They're just lacking these gifts in their life to bring them into a fuller place with God. So God, I ask you right now that you would look upon your church. And I ask specifically you'd look upon this group, Restoration Fellowship. God, that you would give us the gift of prophecy in a greater measure, both in volume, in power, in maturity, in love. Lord, that the body would be built up, encouraged, strengthened, comforted, edified. Lord, bring us into maturity in the way that we handle it, in the way that we deliver it, the way we receive it. God, I ask that you look down, you would see a place where the gifts of the Spirit are being used in a healthy way. God, we ask that you would have mercy on the times that we get it wrong. You have mercy on our pride. You give us humility, and God, help us to see prophecy, healing, deliverance, done in this church family in a way that's helpful to the body of Christ, in a way that promotes love, brings freedom, that's done in a safe and helpful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to pray for anybody right now that's asking one of two things. I'm asking for the gift of prophecy. I don't really get this. I've not really ever gotten a verse or a vision or a dream for anybody, and I would like that. Lord, I'm asking for the gift of prophecy. That's specifically what 1 Corinthians says. If that's you, come up and have someone pray with you. Say, Lord, I ask that you would give them the gift of prophecy. Give them dreams, visions. Or you're someone that moves in it, and you're just looking for that maturity. You're saying, man, Justin talked about a few things that I actually do, and I'm convicted. I want to do it right. If that's you, get prayer too. If you have any other thing you want prayer for, you just got something going on in your life, you want someone to partner with you, come on up. We'd love to pray for you. Let's just take a minute and spend a minute with the Lord before we dismiss. Come up and get prayer if you want to. Go ahead, Daniel.